Michael Avery with Classic Business.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Eltron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at eltron.com. Eltron, there when it matters. Now, before we dive into our offshore investment feature, I must just read out a WhatsApp that I got from Elsabe Vetten. She sent a WhatsApp message following our chat about the bank's draft conduct standards published by the FSCA, saying that she had a rather shocking experience. And I can't read the whole thing here, Elsabe, but it does sound like you voted with your feet. You decided to shift your account from Standard Bank and move to Capitec, and you're now quite happy. So well done for exercising your consumer choice. But it does show how competitive the bank space is at the moment. And if service levels aren't up to scratch, people will just vote with their feet. Well, it's time to go offshore with Mark Wetman, CEO of Unum Capital, who's, just to remind you, built us a trading platform to begin our trading offshore and that journey. If you haven't begun yet, you can go to trade1027.co.za to check it out. Evening, Mark. That GDP shocker really highlights the reason for wanting to invest offshore, doesn't it?
100%, Michael. What a shocking number. I mean, a contraction of 3.2% in local GDP for the last quarter, I think that took us all by surprise. And as you say, the rand blew out to 1474, currently trading 1472. So if you'd gone offshore at 1440, 1430, which was only 2 or 3 weeks ago, you'd be in the money just on your currency trades. So, yeah, huge reason to go offshore.
Now, if we look at the week that was, a different week, but the fears are all still there. It's all still trade. It's all still about Trump and China and global growth concerns. So not too much in terms of dominant themes that are going to be impacting our portfolios.
I kind of feel like you could take me 3 weeks ago and just keep playing back what I've been saying. And it is kind of getting a little bit boring, and I think the market is sort of now not reacting as much as it was. So it's all about tariffs. It's all about Brexit. And, you know, recently we've just seen $60 billion worth of Chinese tariffs has now been put into effect. And Goldman Sachs is saying 70% chance that Mexicans are next. So tariffs are very, very high on the agenda still.
So what's the big deal then? If we had a fair line of sight through this, and there are a lot of sort of known unknowns in the equation.
So interestingly enough, I watched an analyst the other day saying you need an MBA or a PhD in economics to sort of understand this. But just to simplify it, you know, tariffs affect international trade, which affects economy, which then hits onto company earnings, and very specifically certain companies will be affected. And if those companies have corporate credit or debt, you know, then they're going to struggle to repay that. So it then becomes, it's a lag effect, but these things have a knock-on effect. And I think if you did economics at varsity, you'd know that, and maybe Trump didn't, that what he does on tariffs will eventually affect company earnings and will hit companies in his own country.
That is the one area that trickle-down does play out. Speaking of Trump, he's in the UK at the moment, and apart from the Trump baby now being sent to a museum, I believe, to live there forever, his visit with the UK Prime Minister has overshadowed the usual Brexit talk. That's almost gone into the back burner. We forget that Theresa May steps down on Friday.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the Trump baby, and I wish I had. And I, as you say, it might have been retired now, but there's certainly been a lot of protests. But I haven't spotted the inflatable baby. But yeah, it looks like it's all about PR, and he's of course promising, to quote him, a very, very substantial trade deal. And just within the last hour or so, he said he's going to triple the size of the current trade they have with the UK. So that's all going to be great, good news for all the Brexiteers, because now all they've got to do is Brexit. And that's the problem, is they couldn't vote it. They haven't been able to, as we said last week, it's over 1,000 days and they haven't managed to vote a deal yet. So leadership changes, but I don't know how they're going to get the maths in Parliament.
Yeah, that Brexit, that simple equation of just Brexiting remains the biggest stumbling block still. What I found really interesting yesterday was the sort of tech tantrum that we had. I've seen a report calling it the regutechlation wars, because it is all about what Washington thinks of these behemoths in Apple and Google and Facebook and Amazon and the immense market power they have. And I think it's the one bipartisan political issue that will unite both sides, the blue and the red sides of the House here, and that's regulation. Because I think if you look at it, conservatives think that tech is probably far too liberal, and it censors a lot of the conservative voices out there. Liberals think that tech kills jobs and competition and equality. So they really do unite around this idea to regulate the tech firms. And unsurprisingly, we saw those FANG stocks take an almighty pounding last night.
Yeah, which wasn't good for our tech ETF. I mean, we took a bit of a bloody nose yesterday. You know, I think Facebook was down over 7%, Alphabet down 6%. But it's all about this anti-competitive, and you can see where they're coming from in a way. And I'm fairly liberal in terms of tech, but if I saw a stat which says 75% of all spend of every new dollar spent on advertising online is with Facebook and Google. Now that's a massive number. So, you know, how do you democratize the web, I suppose?
What worries me as a journalist about the rise of your Googles and Facebooks is the algorithm or what it's doing to good quality journalism. And I know they have, both Google and Facebook recently pledged around $300 million each to help fund journalism schools and nonprofits focused on quality journalism, investigative reporting over in the US. But it does look like it's consigning journalism to some kind of a commodity that is beholden to an algorithm, which is not good news if you're a journalist anyway. Looking at the other big talking point in the market, it's bonds. And bonds have been the big beneficiary, along with gold, of all of this fear.
So flight to safety, anything that's risk off at the moment is good for US treasuries. And I saw JP Morgan is forecasting unbelievably 1.75% for US bonds by year end. It looks like Fed Watch is pricing in two cuts. There's a, looking at the stats, there's a 65% probability of a Fed cut in July. So, you know, it looks like interest rates on the way down in the US. And I don't know how you fight inflation then, because you've got almost no unemployment, you've got great growth. Mm. Inflation has to come in somewhere. So it's one to one.
Yeah, and what worries me is, as you say, then the tools in terms of your monetary policy toolkit are diminished because your rates are already so low. So that is one that is something of a medium-term risk and concern. And lastly, you sent me a very interesting note here. We're going to be talking to a bunch of crypto exchanges on a panel tomorrow. Valar, the newest crypto exchange to enter the South African market, obviously backed by Michael Jordan, very well-known tech entrepreneur after leaving FNB. And a well-known skeptic of cryptocurrencies, Warren Buffett, has said that he will dine with a Bitcoin enthusiast all in the name of charity.
So this is the 20th year that Buffett has done this. He puts a lunch up for 8 people. He puts it out on auction. This year it went for $4.57 million, was paid to have that lunch with Buffett. And I just thought it was fantastic that Justin Sun, who runs the 11th largest crypto token or currency in the world, being TRX or Tron, won the charity auction. So he's going to sit with Warren Buffett and maybe twist his arm, because he is known as a huge cryptocurrency skeptic.
Well, you don't have to pay millions for a lunch with you and your team. I see you're offering one of our new Trade 1027 listeners a investment lunch with you and the team. How does this work?
So we've just put up the Twitter feed to support the Trade 1027.co.za. So our Twitter handle is @trade1027_SA. If you go in there and you like it or you comment, or I'm going to pick one of the listeners and they can join me and my team for a lunch.
Super.
And as you said, you don't have to pay millions for it.
Well, we've just had your first retweet in response to that new Twitter handle, StudioKid88, tweeting, "What does an ETF stand for?" So it's a curveball, but I'm sure you can handle that one, Mark.
So an exchange traded in South Africa, an exchange traded fund needs to comply with the CISCO, which is the Unitrust regulation. So, and as you know, we have quite a few exchange traded funds in our portfolio, and they're really just a basket of instruments, normally a basket of shares.
Well, there you have it, Studio Kid 88. DM us, and we will arrange that lunch with Mark Wertnam and the Unum Capital team, and you can be introduced into the wonderful world of investing. Let's look now at our portfolio, Mark, and what's happened since the tech wreck and trade saber rattling started again. We really have chosen a very difficult time to start building this offshore portfolio.
So what I love about this is that when I chat to you, it's a Tuesday, and it seems to be that Tuesdays are up at the moment, and Mondays are down. So when I put my numbers together, our portfolio always looks red, and then when I chat with you, there's a 400-point recovery in the Dow this afternoon, and we're actually slightly in the money on our portfolio relative to our benchmark, which is down 5%. So I'm feeling rather chuffed that some of our stocks, and then one of them, BMW, has recovered 3% for us today. So,
ignore the short squeezes. Ignore the short squeezes there, Mark. But it is a funny pattern that we're starting to develop on the show. What new trades do you have, just as we are running out of time here? What new trades do you have for us this week?
So quickly, I'll start with, and it's just interesting you said ETFs. So I've picked, we're very, very overweight in the US with our stocks so far. So I've added emerging markets. Mark Mobius is, of course, a fan. So I've added in an emerging market ETN, and its code is GMF. So we're going to add that into the portfolio to get a bit of global diversification. And the other one is I'm going for a real oil punt. I think this oil price is very depressed. So we're going to go for a little bit of punt on oil. So we're going to buy an ETN, which tracks the oil price. And basically, its code is UWT, and it moves three times the oil price. So if we get this right, we're going to look like heroes.
Well, that is an interesting bet, as we've seen oil come off massively from over $70 to just over $60 in the space of 7 short days. Got any further questions for Mark Unum, Mark Wheatman on how to trade offshore? He's the head of Unum Capital. Then tweet him, or you can send us a WhatsApp on 066-470-1872. Let's cross to Kadleho for the latest traffic.